This meeting is now being recorded.
Hi, good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West Coast. This is Julie Klebonis from the Integrated Care Resource Center, and I'm pleased today to welcome everyone to a call on integrated plan marketing materials. I hear a few beeps, so we're just going to start the roll call, and if I could please ask, when I call your state, if you could just say yes, you're on the call, and give an estimate of how many people are on the call. Please do not identify yourself with your personal name. We are recording this call, and we would like to post it on the ICRC website. So with that, I'm going to start the roll call. Is there anyone on from Arizona? California?
Yes. Good morning, Jane Ogle.
Hi, Jane. Is there anyone on from Hawaii? Idaho? Illinois? Massachusetts?
Massachusetts, third time.
Is Michigan on the line?
Yes, there's four of us here.
Minnesota?
Yes, there's three.
New York?
Yes.
Ohio?
Ohio's here. I'm sure there's others on the line as well.
Oregon? Rhode Island? Was that somebody from Rhode Island? South Carolina? Tennessee? Texas?
We're here.
Vermont?
Yes.
Virginia?
Yes, Virginia's here, and we have three people here on the line.
Washington? Wisconsin?
Wisconsin's here.
I'm just going to, was there any state that did not hear themselves called? Okay. With that, I'm just going to remind everyone, we are recording today's phone call, so if you could please place your phone on mute, that would be incredibly helpful. We don't want to hear any background noise, and please do not put us on hold. Sometimes we do hear hold music in the background. Before introducing our first speakers from MMCO, I want to welcome anyone else from CMS that has also joined the call and from the Integrated Care Resource Center. In the interest of time, I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself, but thank you very much for joining today. So the first item we're going to start today, just so everyone on the phone can have it in front of them, is the PowerPoint, the study hall call integrated marketing materials that has CMS's logo on the top left-hand corner. Today, we're pleased to actually have Vanessa Duran and Julie Jones join us for the presentation. Vanessa is a senior technical advisor in the MMCO working on various plan-related policy and operational areas, including marketing. And Julie is based out of the Chicago Regional Office working on marketing and the contract management and with the contract management team with their standard operating procedures. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Vanessa to kick us off today.
Hey, thanks so much, Julie. It's my pleasure to be here with you all today, along with my colleague, Julie Jones. Starting on slide two, we just provide a quick overview of the topics that we wanted to address at a high level today. And then just really talk about our starting point for marketing, you know, what we consider marketing under the demonstration. We want to spend a little bit of time talking about integrated marketing materials, although a lot of the sort of state-specific detail, I think, or examples of how states have approached this can be filled in later by California and Massachusetts. We want to focus on major areas of MMP marketing guidance based on our experience working with a handful of states so far. Briefly touch on the activities that we're going to be undertaking as part of our marketing surveillance plan. And then I see inadvertently we left off a bullet here, and that is actually the piece that Julie Jones is going to be doing later, and that is really just a high-level overview of the marketing review process and the interaction basically between the marketing review team and the contract management team. So with that, just headed straight into slide three. In terms of the principles underlying marketing and the demonstration, our starting point really is, first of all, that marketing requirements are developed jointly between CMS and the state, with two important things to keep in mind. The first of those is that the standards that we ultimately use for each state's demonstration should be at least as stringent as they are today under the Part D and Medicare Advantage programs, and that are articulated in the Medicare marketing guidelines. Our default position, where there are differences between state and CMS requirements, is that the most beneficiary-friendly policy should apply. The other important thing to note with respect to the marketing requirements is that one of the parameters of the demonstration is that Part D marketing requirements essentially remain unchanged. So we'll be addressing that a little bit later on in the presentation. We will be developing state-specific marketing guidance for Medicare and Medicaid plans in each demonstration. And as I mentioned earlier, the starting point for that marketing guidance in each state is the Medicare marketing guidelines, which is a sub-regulatory document that essentially articulates marketing policy based on Medicare statute and regulation. In collaboration with the state, we will develop state-specific guidance based not only on the Medicare marketing guidelines, but also on each state-specific MOU and three-way contract. The focus of that state-specific marketing guidance will essentially be on what is different or modified relative to the Medicare marketing guidelines. So in other words, the baseline marketing guidance document remains the Medicare marketing guidelines for the plans, but the state-specific guidance details any additional requirements as well as any requirements that are modified or inapplicable to the plans in a particular state. So essentially, other than those requirements that are modified and articulated in that state-specific guidance, the requirements of the Medicare marketing guidelines apply to the plans in each of your states. To date, we've released final 2013 marketing guidance for Massachusetts, as well as final 2014 guidance for California. Since the Medicare marketing guidelines are modified, annually, we obviously have to key off that baseline document. We do expect to be releasing revised 2013 guidance for Massachusetts based on some changes we've made to the three-way contract, as well as a final 2014 guidance document for Massachusetts plans, and we anticipate that should happen pretty soon, next couple of days. And we are also working with some of the other states that already have developed MOUs, so Ohio, Illinois, and Virginia, to similarly take on that that task of putting together their marketing guidance. And as part of that process, we do release draft state-specific guidance to each of your plans for comment and finalize based on those comments. So we definitely try to build in feedback from stakeholders. We also put it out more broadly than your plan so that we have definitely been getting feedback from others, including advocacy organizations. I am on slide four now, and just wanted to recap quickly that the primary source for this plan guidance, of course, is the Medicare marketing guidelines, the MOU and the three-way contract, as well as, of course, the demonstration-specific marketing guidance. But there are other places that plans will be getting additional guidance, and they include things like the demonstration-specific model integrated materials, which I'll discuss in a little bit more detail in a few minutes, as well as annual plan call letters to the extent that any policy is made on marketing or anything that affects the baseline marketing requirements be another source of information for plans, as well as guidance memoranda on marketing topics that are released through the health plan management system. The HPMS user guide in the HPMS marketing module is a very good resource for sort of process questions, which is something Julie will talk about in a little bit. And as well, we put together training materials both on the baseline marketing guidelines and state-specific requirements, and those are good references for plans as well. Moving on to slide five, I just wanted to note that under the Medicare program, the term marketing has a broader definition than is usually the case under state Medicaid programs, meaning that marketing encompasses not just advertising or promotion of a plan for prospective enrollees, but it also encompasses most communications with current members. And based on CMS's Medicare Advantage statute regulations and sub-regulatory guidance, marketing materials are essentially any materials that are targeted to beneficiaries that promote the plan or inform the beneficiaries that they can enroll in the plan or remain enrolled, that explain plan rules or plan benefits to a member or a potential member, and also explain how services are covered, what the benefits of enrollment are, and any conditions that apply to that coverage. So that's pretty broad. On slide 6, we provide a few examples of exceptions to the definition of marketing, particularly for current beneficiary enrollment communications. And I won't spend a lot of time going into these in detail, but these are some examples of things that we don't consider marketing materials and that therefore don't get submitted in HPMS by plans and do not have to be reviewed for approval. Skipping ahead to slide 7, and just focusing for a moment on integrated marketing materials. We started a process last year of developing demonstration-specific integrated marketing models. We, you know, as our starting point, looked at a lot of Medicaid marketing communications. We also, of course, had the Medicare Advantage and Part D member materials to draw from. And so we put together very demo-specific models. We put those out for public comment. So we, you know, certainly they've been through the rounds internally here. We've shared them with states, we've shared them with beneficiary advocates, and we've also done a little bit of beneficiary testing. And so based on that entire process, we've developed these baseline documents that serve as the starting point for you to develop your own state-specific material. So we have a national baseline, but nobody really uses that national baseline except as a starting point. The models that either we have already developed or in the process of finalizing include the member handbook, which is also known as the evidence of coverage in the Medicare Advantage program, a summary of benefits, which is a shorter document that details at a pretty high level critical information about each plan as well as its benefits. Also, a comprehensive formulary that would include not just the Medicare-covered drugs, Part D-covered drugs, but also Medicaid-covered drugs and over-the-counter products. Also, a combined provider and pharmacy directory that encompasses providers of all services of benefits provided by the plans, and also a single ID card for all services. We're also in the process of developing an annual notice of change, which is a document that goes out annually to current members informing them of the changes in their benefit package from 1 year to the next. And I'll go into a little bit more detail on that in a moment. We also, in the case of any states that are delegating enrollment or disenrollment activity to plans, enrollment forms would also be materials that would go through a marketing review and approval process. So just to clarify, enrollment materials that are developed by the state for use by the state enrollment broker are not materials we consider marketing materials through our dual review process, but rather you know, anything that is used by a plan, for example, some of the counties in California, that would be treated a little bit differently. And then finally, we've developed a welcome letter for passively enrolled individuals, which I'll touch on in a second, and that is one of the documents that's in the enrollment guidance for MMPs that went out earlier this summer. As we finalize those state-specific models, we do release them to plans via HPMS, and we also post them to our financial alignment webpage. Another important note is that plans will continue to use the existing Part D models unless otherwise noted. So, for example, they don't use the current Part D formulary because we have a demo-specific one. But some examples of things that plans would continue to use would be you know, Part D transition letter, the Part D explanation of benefits, and the Part D excluded provider letter. Moving forward to slide 8, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I, you know, for those states that have not started working with us yet on developing their marketing guidance, there are some definite areas where, you know, we've seen the need for modification or for additional requirements relative to the Medicare marketing guidelines. And, of course, every document is different. We do start with sort of a baseline template document, but each state demonstration is different, and so we do slightly different things in each of those state documents. One of the things, of course, is for any state that's starting mid-year, we try to clarify sort of what the permissible marketing start date is, noting that it could never be more than 90 days before the effective date of enrollment. I would note here, though, that the marketing, the date by which plans may start marketing does also depend on the plans having gone through the readiness review and successfully passed the readiness review, as well as having the three-way contract signed. So the 90 days is not necessarily a guarantee, but it's as early as it could possibly start. We also do detailed translation requirements for written materials, and here we do compare the Medicare standard for translation to the Medicaid standard, and so far with the states we've worked with, we found that the Medicaid standard is typically more rigorous, and so we, of course, always apply the more rigorous standard. We also, one of the major differences in these marketing documents has to do with the materials that each beneficiary receives and the timing of receipt, given sort of the additional complication of passive enrollment, and so I'll be spending a little bit of time in a second talking about what these are. We also spend time in some of these documents talking about marketing of multiple lines of business, especially when an organization is offering both an MMP and a non-MMP product. That's definitely been an issue for some states. We also have spent some time discussing the standardized plan type name and marketing materials. We definitely have modified some of the material, marketing material disclaimers. There are a lot of disclaimers in the marketing guidelines, and through beneficiary testing, we've modified the wording or made them, you know, sort of more applicable for this population. So those will appear not just on the integrated models, but also in the marketing guidance. Another area where some states have chosen to be more stringent is with respect to the use of incentives, rewards, and nominal gifts, all of which are, you know, within certain limits, acceptable in the Medicare context. And another place where there's been some significant differences with respect to the use of agents and brokers, with most of the states that we're working with not permitting the use of independent agents and brokers or really any one-on-one activity or marketing activity with prospective enrollment. And that is a very significant difference relative to the Medicare Advantage context. And finally, we've made some clarifications with respect to customer service call centers and when plans are permitted to use alternative technologies such as interactive voice response systems during the weekends and holidays, given that the marketing guidelines require customer service call centers to be open 8 to 8, 7 days a week. So I think we've provided a little bit more flexibility there for the Medicare Medicaid plans. Moving on to slide 10, as I mentioned earlier, one important clarification we've made in state-specific guidance as well as in the MMP enrollment guidance is the timeline for receipt of plan materials by individuals. And because of passive enrollment, these requirements are a little bit different, and they're sequenced to ensure that individuals have sufficient information to make decisions about opting out or about selecting a different plan prior to their enrollment effective date. So 30 days prior to enrollment for anyone who comes in through the passive enrollment route, the beneficiary should receive a package that includes a welcome letter, a formulary, a combined provider and pharmacy directory, although I will provide a little more detail on this requirement in a moment, as well as a summary of benefits. Actually, this isn't very clearly laid out in this slide, I'm realizing now, but the ID card and the member handbook actually are not required to go out 30 days prior. In fact, they are not required to go out until the last day of the month prior to the effective date of enrollment. Particularly because the member handbook is such a large document, we want the plans to have some assurance that the member is remaining enrolled and mail it sort of closer to the time that beneficiary will start receiving benefits under the plan. So for opt-in enrollees on slide 11, that what they receive and the timing of that is a little bit different and a little bit more consistent with what happens in Medicare Advantage and Part D today. Those folks have made an affirmative decision to enroll in a plan, and so there's no need for a summary of benefits. What they will get is the member handbook, the ID card, the directory, and the formulary, and they will be required to get those materials within 10 days of CMS receiving the confirmation from the state of that individual's enrollment. In addition, beneficiaries will get additional materials after the time of initial enrollment, and those are laid out on slide 12. So these are things that would be received on an annual or other periodic basis, but I would note that plans are required to maintain things like a provider directory and a formulary on their websites between mailings of any hard copies. each year, enrollees, of course, have to get a new formulary. And by September 30th of each year, an enrollee is required to receive something called an annual notice of change, which I referenced earlier. And, again, that will detail changes in the benefits or the plan rules from 1 year to the next. The plan may choose to send this with a member handbook by September 30th, or the plan may choose to send the member handbook later, but in any event, no later than December 31st, which is consistent with the flexibility that special needs plans have today. If the plan chooses to send that member handbook later, it must send the summary of benefits along with that annual notice of change by September 30th. We just want to make sure that the beneficiary has something in their hands to describe what the benefit package will look like for the following year. The plan does not, of course, have to send an ID card annually. They do have to be able to replace lost ID cards as needed and certainly reissue them to their entire membership as needed. With regard to the provider and pharmacy directory, it is a requirement under Medicare Advantage that those documents go out in hard copy at the time of enrollment. However, we have negotiated a little bit of flexibility there for Massachusetts and California and do expect that this will be of interest to other states. And that is for the way that enrollees receive information about the network. Instead of getting a hard copy of the provider and pharmacy directory, the plan has the option to instead provide information about how to access that provider directory online. Of course, with the caveat that if a beneficiary calls the call center and says, I want a hard copy, they need to get a hard copy. Of course, that provider directory also has to be maintained on the website, and as I mentioned, copies must be made available upon request. In addition, of course, plans are required to provide information to enrollees when there is a significant mid-year network change, something that would significantly potentially impact access. Beneficiaries must be made aware of. And switching gears for a moment before having Julie finish the rest of this presentation, I wanted to make sure that you're aware of some of the efforts that we are undertaking with respect to surveillance of marketing activity in demonstration service areas. We're building on CMS's existing marketing surveillance efforts, and to that end, we're working with the current Medicare Advantage and Part D surveillance contractor to develop for each state a state-specific surveillance plan. So we will, of course, be developing these plans with state input on specific areas of focus for each particular demonstration and even for specific service areas. We, in addition to providing support for things like targeted observations based on complaints or other potentially alarming market trends, the contractor will be assisting us with analysis, things like advertising materials, provider communications to demonstration eligibles, communications to enrollees with limited English proficiency, and also just general marketplace trend analysis. The contractor will also assist us with analysis on compliance relative to Medicare and demonstration-specific marketing requirements, and it's possible, too, that we will be looking to them to help us with some of the pre-enrollment validation activities. So at this point, I would be happy to hand things over to my colleague, Julie, who is going to lead the presentation with respect to some of the process issues with marketing reviews.
Thanks, Vanessa. Hi, I'm Julie Jones, and I'm going to start off first talking a little bit on slide 14 about the marketing review team. And oversight of the demonstrations is going to be handled by what's called a contract management team, or CMT, and there's three main parts to this team, and the staff is called representatives. The first is the Medicare representative from the regional office of CMS, and then there's also a Medicaid representative from the CMS regional office, and finally a state representative as part of this team. And this is the main oversight part of the team. There is also a management part of the team, but we're going to focus on the oversight part. So really the structure of this team, we've set up with a lot of flexibility because we understand that there's a lot of differences between how states are structured as well as how the CMS regional offices are structured and do their work. So the contract management team, SOP, accounts for that variability. And I did want to note that we do consider the state and CMS marketing reviewers as an important part of that CMT team. So they work with those representatives to review the marketing. Next slide, please. That's slide 15. It's we're going to start now and talk about the marketing review process. There are two main types of marketing reviews that are going to be done for the MMPs. The first of those is the prospective reviews, and this is really what we're going to focus on primarily today. But I did also want to note that there are retrospective reviews that can be done, and that's primarily for file and use materials if need be. Okay? And then one of the other things is that there are some three different kinds of reviews that are done. And prior to implementation of the demonstration, we've been working with states, and they can decide which categories of materials that they would like to review prospectively underneath the demonstrations. And as that then results in, first of all, joint reviews that are done by both CMS and the state. And there are also one-sided reviews where either the CMS only reviews certain documents or the state only reviews certain documents. And as I mentioned before, there are the file and use submissions that don't include any type of prospective review. So going on to slide 16, one of the things that I wanted to know is that under these demonstrations, the Medicare Advantage DME requirements have been waived. So in other words, they're not subject to being approved if they're not reviewed within a certain time period. And this applies to those materials that are reviewed jointly and those materials that are reviewed by the state. Now, if there are any materials that are just reviewed by CMS, the deeming requirements will remain as they are under Medicare Advantage. But we did want to point out that it's vital that these marketing materials are reviewed timely under the demonstrations, even though that deeming requirement's not in place. So that has been somewhat of a concern for some of the MMPs prior to the start here of the demonstration, which is why we really wanted to make that point of importance. Now, the reviews for that are done jointly are done concurrently. CMS and the state will be reviewing the documents at the same time, and there is also a process in place in case there are any differences between what is found in those reviews and a way to reconcile the results. That is actually described in the marketing review stop I'm going to discuss in just a moment. There are materials, as I mentioned, that have one-sided reviews, and I want to give you a couple examples of those. For CMS, for the Massachusetts and California demonstrations, only CMS will be reviewing the Part D appeals and grievance notices. Those states will not. And for the Massachusetts demonstration, only they will be reviewing the advertising materials, and CMS will not be reviewing those materials. And in general, CMS won't be reviewing any documents under the demonstration that we don't currently review under the Medicare Advantage program. And as I mentioned, there's a lot more details that are described about the marketing review process in the SOP that we've put together, and that SOP is an appendix to the contract management team SOP, which has been out for review in several states. And so we're now waiting to receive comments from those states as well. Going on to slide 17, all the marketing is going to be submitted in HPMS. And here is a link to the user's guide, which describes, you know, the process of submission for those MMPs and how the review process works a little bit. But, you know, it's really those marketing review stop that describes how the state and CMS review things. next you'll see there. Each of the states, as I mentioned, get to decide which materials they want to review. So what has been done under these demonstrations is we've been developing state-specific category codes for these reviews within HPMS based upon what the states want to review. So we won't be using any of the codes that are there currently for Medicare Advantage. And like I said, each state, there'll be different codes for each state. So that's something that we're in the process of putting together as well, although it's been done for Massachusetts and California already. Okay. And when the MMPs enter the category codes into HPMS, just one thing you know is the screen indicates for them if it's a one-sided review or a joint review by CMS in the state. So they'll know then who's going to take a look at the materials that they're entering. If you go on to slide 18, that just discusses the marketing review timeframes. For file and use, the MMPs must submit the documents 5 calendar days prior to use. As I mentioned, there's no prospective reviews. And then going on, the models without modification are subject to a 10-day review process under the demonstration. And for the non-model materials or models used without modifications, it's generally a 45-day review process. Now, as I mentioned before, they're not subject to DEET, so these are basically guidelines under the demonstration, but we really do want to see these timelines as much as possible. Okay, so going on to slide 19, this just lists the different material dispositions within HPMS. For the withdrawn one, that isn't used very often, but if a plan has entered materials and CMS or the state has not yet started to review it, if they've put the wrong version in or something like that, they can request that we withdraw the documents for them. Also want to note for those documents that are disapproved, of course, the plans have to resubmit and correct the errors. But one of the things that we really ask them to do is indicate in the comments portion in HPMS what the changes are, or, you know, if they also have another way to show us where the changes are located within the documents, then that really speeds up the review process for the second round of reviews. Going on to slide 20, this is just a link to our Financial Alignment Initiative webpage, which includes really a ton of very useful information, such as the marketing guidance for each state that Vanessa talked about, the translation requirements, those state-specific model materials that have been in place so far, and also there's some additional training slides that we did a training for the MMPs earlier this year. And then the next thing that's listed there is a link to the Medicare marketing guidelines, which the 2014 version of that was just sent out recently. Going on to slide 21, this is the link to the Part D marketing model documents, such as the appeals and grievance notices for Part D, other documents that Vanessa mentioned. On slide 22, this is some helpful email addresses for you to have in case you have any questions down the line. Any general marketing questions can be submitted to the marketing@cms.hhs.gov website. And if you have any demonstration-specific marketing questions, those are at the CMS FAD plan selection box. If the MMPs come with any questions, they should be sent to the demonstration-specific marketing box at MMCO Cast Model. And finally, for any questions on the HPMS process, how to do something in HPMS, or systems access, you can send those to hpms@cms.hhs.gov. Okay, and that's all that we have for our presentation. Thank you, Julie.
Great. Thank you so much, Vanessa and Julie. That was very, very interesting. I think we're going to hold questions until the end. I just want to make sure that we give Massachusetts and California time to present their information. So if everyone could please hold their questions. I'd like to now turn to the other set of slides that was sent out. Its title is Dual's ICRC Marketing Study Hall Call, Massachusetts Experience. And with that, I'd like to introduce Derek Tyman. He is from the Mass Health Office of Providers and Plans, and he is primarily focused on working on the dual demonstration. So, Derek, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. So, to start us off, I just want to give a very brief background on the dual demonstration here in the Commonwealth. It's been about a year now since we've signed the MOU with CMS to get us started in the demonstration. And just a couple housekeeping issues before I go into the presentation. Here in Massachusetts, we refer to the Medicaid program as MassHealth, so that's one and the same when I mentioned the MassHealth program. And also, here in the Commonwealth, speaking of marketing, we have branded the dual demonstration here in Massachusetts the OneCare program. So when you hear me speak of the OneCare program or OneCare plans, that's synonymous with the duals plan. That's now how we've branded it, both internally and member-facing. So just a couple of the background issues. Like I said, it's been about a year since we've signed the MOU with CMS, and we've been working diligently with our plans that were selected via the RFR, and we are continuing towards contract signing and towards completing the readiness review process. And in doing so over the past few months, we've been working hand-in-hand with CMS in preparing for the marketing material side of the readiness. So if you'll move your slides over to slide number 3, starting the process and materials development. So essentially here, and again, I'm speaking from the state perspective, so these are what the basis is on this. As far as the participants went in preparing the actual marketing materials and templates themselves, here at MassHealth we have both our policy unit, who is the main liaison with CMS and also very focused in on the program design and development. And then also we have where I'm based as the providers and plans unit for MassHealth, which is mainly responsible for overseeing managed care products, including the OneCare program. Also, we worked very closely in tandem with our CMS partners, both in the regional level and central office levels, in creating these materials. So in looking at this again, coming through the eyes of the state, as was just very well explained, some of the materials we looked at were the list to cover drugs, summary of benefits, provider directory, amongst others. In doing so was a great iterative process, I have to say, between the state and between CMS, both at the central level, especially when it came to these documents, and going to make sure that everyone's needs were met. Everyone's needs were met both at CMS and also at the state level as we moved on, went back and forth with edits, and really came out with a product that we were both satisfied with. So if you move on to slide 4 with me. So once we had created the templates, and had we also needed to not only have the templates, but start to have the process for the submission of those templates. So we needed to develop marketing codes for use in HPMS. Now, for this, we needed to ask ourselves some questions on the state side. You know, which materials would we like to review? What's the time frame for these materials and for the review? A lot of us here on the MassHealth side really needed to familiarize ourselves with HPMS and how that goes with marketing review. This was a new world for us. So understanding filing use, understanding the templates, things like that were really something that we got our hands around as we were looking at the marketing codes and what our expectations were. And again, our frames of reference in that process were both our institutional history here at MassHealth through our MCO program, as well as very much relying on the knowledge of our CMS partners and the guidelines and experience that they had prepared over the years through the MA program. If you move on to slide 5 with me. Now, so a couple examples through that process of developing the marketing codes, I'll give you a few. One is advertising, newspapers, radio, and billboards. Now, in selecting codes and selecting which materials would be reviewed, here at the state side, in our MCO program, we have a history of reviewing such materials, and we felt strongly that we should maintain that history and that process, and we did. So we worked with CMS to create codes for those materials, and those would be called, again, as explained earlier in the presentation, would be a state-only review. Those were materials that only the state will review. When it came to Part D appeals and grievance forms, however, We felt that we were going to rely on the knowledge and expertise of our federal partners when it came to Part D, and that would be a CMS-only review. So any materials that would come in under that code are for CMS only. For non-Part D materials, actually, we found in one instance that a new code needed to be created, and CMS was great in working with us to create a new code to meet the needs of the materials that will come in through the MMP. And another example, finally, is direct mail pieces. We also have a history here at MassHealth of not allowing direct mail in the MCO program, but after much discussion, we actually decided to allow direct mail. But again, this would be something that only the state would review. If you move on with me now to slide six.
Derek, I'm sorry. This is Julie Klebonis from the ICRC. We're getting some feedback, some loud buzzing noise. I'm not sure if by chance you're on a headset or anything.
No, I unfortunately, I guarantee that's not from our side. We're in a quiet office.
Okay.
I hear it myself.
Okay, so if you could just, you know, you're doing great. We can hear you pretty good, so we're just going to bear with it and continue on then.
Okay, I'll try to speak into the microphone a little bit more directly. Sorry, everyone. So our next step, now that we had our codes down and we were working through our materials, was to build the process, the interagency process, on how these materials would actually be reviewed, how the marketing review process would work, both for us in the state and in tandem with the regional CMS office. So one of the things we did first and foremost was a great old-fashioned meet and greet with the CMS regional team, who actually putting some faces to the marketing reviewers both on the CMS side and on the state side. So we did a meet and greet, got to know each other, and then most importantly as well, we walked through the process. We sat down side by side here in an office and worked through both what our protocols would be in reviewing pieces, what it would mean when a piece was only a one-sided review, what it would mean when a piece was a dual review, how that process would work, and also, as also very important, is to see how it would all function through HPMS. Where did HPMS function as would be ideally desired, and where were some of the kinks that still needed to be worked out? And when there were kinks, what would we do for a workaround? Those were all vital issues that we worked on and really, really got to the heart of right at the beginning, which was excellent and I think really crucial to getting this process launched. So if you'll flip the slide with me again, slide number seven. Once we had our behind-the-scenes communication set, we now had to go out and do our external communication. We had to present a face to the plans. And in doing so, we presented a united face to the plans. We introduced ourselves, both on the CMS side and the MassHealth side, as a joint team. Again, we put faces to names. We got to know plan-level marketing folks and made sure that they knew it was an open-door policy when they had questions, who to contact from our side, and we knew who to contact from their side. Since that time, also, we set up a process for ad hoc emails when clarifications inevitably needed to be sent. And we also set up periodic check-in calls with each of the plans to make sure we had regular ongoing communication set up in a formatted way. So if you flip the slide again, slide number eight, our ongoing process, like I said, we've had weekly check-in calls, both with MassHealth and CMS behind the scenes, to check up on how our reviews are going, make sure it's a smooth process. Ad hoc communication is needed. And we've also treated, most importantly, our protocol as a living document. When a problem comes up or an issue is resolved, we're able to amend our protocols to make sure we're being as efficient and effective as possible. And process improvement is always respected and found where it can be. So finally, slide number nine, our results to date. Again, we're still in the beginning of our process, but so far I have to say it's been very smooth. We've had a very good experience here on the state side. All the Massachusetts MMPs have so far submitted materials. 10-day and 45-day deadlines have all been met. Plans have raised important issues when it comes to process improvement, when it comes to marketing codes and questions. Have been very great in getting us feedback about that. And I have to say, all around the process has been very smooth, and I look forward to it continuing that way. Thank you very much. I hope this has been a helpful presentation as far as how things are going in Massachusetts on the state side.
Great. Thank you so much, Derek. I'm not going to hold us up. I'm going to turn it right over to Jane Ogle from California. She's the deputy director there. And Jane, I'm not sure if you want to say anything else about how long and how much you've been working with this dual demo, but I turn it over to you. And just for reference, California sent out several documents they're going to reference, and Jane, I'll let you decide where you want to start.
Okay, thanks very much. So I was just going to do a little background on where California is in the process of the dual demonstration project, which we in California now call CalMedi Connect. And we've branded the entire demonstration project in the eight counties as CalMedi Connect. So as you probably all have heard us say more times than you care to hear, there are eight counties that will be participating in the demonstration project. Approximately 425,000 people are potential enrollees in the demonstration project. And working with CMS, we have agreed to put a cap on the enrollment in Los Angeles County of 200,000 dual eligibles. As a matter of fact, as part of our negotiation of the Memorandum of Understanding, we agreed to have a Los Angeles County specific enrollment strategy, a document that was just released last week for 30-day review. So we've been at the process of bringing up the dual demonstration project for a little over 2 years now, and we have had a very comprehensive stakeholder process throughout this. Mm-hmm. In addition to our calduals.org website, which has about 3,000 people who visit it regularly, we have had we started out with a series of seven work groups focused on various aspects of the demonstration, and those public work groups looked at such things as beneficiary protections and networks and plans and everything, including what the marketing and beneficiary materials would look like. As we release materials to for review, we generally hold a phone conversation, a webinar, sort of call with the beneficiaries or advocates and stakeholders to help us look at the materials and tell them what's involved in the materials and ask for their input. We then post things on the CalDuals website for review and then receive comments and then repost red lines of those materials so that people can see what comments were accepted and what comments we were not able to accept. We've worked very closely with CMS on the marketing materials, and we have we pretty much agree with their plans and proposals with regard to the Medicare Advantage approaches to marketing. There are some specifics to California that I don't need to go into right now. What we intend to do in California, aside from our very large outreach campaign, and I just want to take a sec to talk about the outreach campaign because that's really a critical part from the state's point of view of the marketing activity. So we've identified a variety of stakeholder groups that in each county who need to be educated and brought into understanding what the CalMedi Connect project is about. We actually have what you might think of as campaign coordinators on the ground in several of those counties right now, working with the local organizations and setting up local meetings and local events. Part of what we do with the plans and looking at their readiness is to evaluate how much outreach they've done to the community-based organizations that are in their county so that we can understand that they've really started to educate the community-based organizations there about what the CalMedi Connect will mean for their clients. So we've done a lot of that, and that's really just the beginning. As we move into the fall and early winter, we anticipate that those outreach activities are really going to increase as we start in conjunction with us sending out materials to the beneficiaries to give them education about what their choices are. So what we intend to do with regard to materials is that for all of our projects recently, we have done a 90, 60, and 30-day notice opportunity for enrollees. So at 90 days, we send out a notice saying, there's going to be a change coming. Something is going to happen in 90 days, and you're going to have to make a choice. And here's sort of in a broad overview what the change is going to be. At 60 days, we then intend to send out an enrollment package to each of the beneficiaries unless they've made a choice that they don't want to participate. And let me step back and remind everybody that in California, in those eight counties, while people will always have the choice on the Medicare side of whether or not to participate or whether to join a PACE plan, they also, on the Medi-Cal side for long-term services and supports, they do have to select one of the Medi-Cal plans in that county. So to receive personal care services, MSSP, nursing facility services, the Medicare wrap, all of those services, they will have to be in a plan. And so their choice is really on the Medicare side. So the information we're sending to beneficiaries describes what that choice decision tree is for them and what the choice will be. And as I said, at 90 days, that's described to them. At 60 days, we will send them information based on the data that we have from CMS that describes where a person is receiving services through what primary care or a group of specialists they're receiving services. We'll send information to a potential beneficiary saying, this is the plan that we think all of your physician services are available through, or most of your physician services are available through. And based on this information, in 60 days, we intend to enroll you in this plan. You will become effective in this plan within 60 days, unless you choose the other plan or you decide you want to opt out on the Medicare side. But don't forget, you still have to make a choice on the Medi-Cal side. So that's a fairly complicated decision tree at 60 days. So along with that choice packet, we'll be sending out a member handbook or member, I don't want to say handbook, guidebook that will help people understand what their choices are with regard to Medicare, Medi-Cal, and then with regard to PACE, if they want to choose to participate in a PACE program. PACE is available in some of the zip codes in some of the counties that we are expanding the dual demonstration project to. So we've tried to make the guidebook as comprehensible as possible and write it at a level that people will be able to understand what their choices are. Then at 30 days, they will get another letter, and you can see most of those letters on CalMediConnect on the link that we have here. And the 30-day letter will say, no, we're really serious. You really are going to be enrolled in this plan unless you choose to opt out. Or, but don't forget, you do have to choose a Medi-Cal plan, and in 30 days, you will start receiving your Medicare services through this plan unless you opt out, or you will receive your Medi-Cal services through this plan. So we try to give them as much opportunity as possible to participate in the decision. If they don't make a choice during that time frame, they will have been passively enrolled into the plan 60 days prior to the effective date. And the reason that we are going to passively enroll them into the plan 60 days prior to the effective date is that gives us the opportunity to then give the plan data about that membership so that they can prepare for the health risk assessment and do the risk stratification necessary to know where the beneficiaries are and what their health care needs might be that are unmet. So that sets it up with a 60-day time frame for them to have everything ready for when the beneficiary becomes active in their plan, at which point the plan, or a little before that, the plan will send out the evidence of coverage and the beneficiary's card and other plan-specific information so that the day that the person becomes active, they will have all the information they need to begin receiving services through the plan. It's been we've tried to have a very comprehensive stakeholder engagement process around all of this because it is fairly complicated in California. Each county is actually pursuing a different enrollment strategy. Thank you. LA has a strategy. San Mateo has a different strategy. And the other counties have yet a different strategy. We've tried to make the enrollment in most of the counties based on birth month. So a person will be enrolled according to their birth month during the course of 2014. At this point, we are still receiving comments back on our enrollment materials, and we'll be posting final drafts very shortly because coming up towards a January go-live, we need to finalize these documents in the very near future. With that, I will just stop and see if there are any comments or questions about the strategy that we have here in California.
Thank you, Jane. This is Julie Cabonas. So we have about 5 minutes left. I do apologize. There's not more time for questions, but I'd like to open the floor for questions to any of our speakers today.
We do have a question.
Sure. Could you just identify the state, please?
Minnesota.
Okay, go ahead.
We'd like to know more about the flexibility being offered to states regarding the customer service call center requirements and the use of alternative technology on weekends and holidays.
Hi, this is Vanessa Duran. I would encourage you to read the California final guidance that we just released. It's posted to the Financial Alignment webpage. But essentially, because the Medicare Advantage rules restrict the use of alternative technologies during the annual election period and through February 14th, that time frame didn't make a lot of sense from the perspective of dual eligible population. In addition, with a lot of states that we had doing a lot of sort of continuous ways of passive enrollment, it was unfortunately going to cause a situation where the plan would have no ability to use alternative technologies on the weekends and holidays for pretty much an entire year. So where we ended up was that the plan could use alternative technologies on weekends and holidays year-round, and that is sort of where we ended up, and we would revisit that policy for 2015 as needed. But hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from our participants or the states? All right, well, if there are questions that come up after this call, please feel free to reach out to the speakers or the ICRC directly. Our website is on our website. Our web address is on there. You could also email me directly. Just respond to the announcement for today's call. Again, thank you to Vanessa, Julie, Derek, and Jane. We very much appreciated your presentations. And I think that you gave us a lot of information, so I would not be surprised if questions came after this call. We are working with CMS and the states to schedule the next round of study hall calls, and they will be coming sometime later in August. We realize this summer there's a lot of summer vacations and other priorities, so we will be taking a bit of a break from the study hall call series for the next few weeks, and we will resume in middle of August. So please enjoy your summer, and we look forward to speaking with everyone then. Thank you.